Hey guys, welcome back to Astrophysica's podcast. This is Aman Mohan and with me is Krishna. Hi Krishna.
Hey Aman. Hi everyone.
Great. So guys, today we're going to be talking about the topic remote sensing. So basically, remote sensing is the acquiring of information from a distance. Okay. And NASA observes Earth and other planetary bodies via remote sensors on satellites and other aircrafts that can detect and record reflected or emitted energy.
Exactly. And remote sensors, which provide a global perspective and a wealth of data about Earth systems, enable data-informed decisions making based on the current and future state of our planet.
Yeah, and the remote sensing is used in numerous fields, including geography, land surveying, and most Earth science disciplines like hydrology, ecology, meteorology, etc. And it also has military, intelligence, commercial, economic, planning, and humanitarian applications, among others.
And in current usage, the term remote sensing generally refers to the use of satellite or aircraft-based sensors technology to detect and classify objects on Earth. So it includes the surface and atmosphere and oceans based on propagated signal or, let's say, electromagnetic radiation.
Yeah, and it may be split into active remote sensing when a signal is emitted by a satellite or aircraft to the object and its reflection is detected by the sensor. And passive remote sensing. And this happens when the reflection of the sunlight is detected by the sensor. So Krishna, how is it used in space science?
Yeah, so first application is for orbits. So satellites can be placed in several types of orbits around Earth. The three common classes of orbits are low Earth orbit, which is approximately around 160 to 2000 kilometers above Earth. Then comes the medium Earth orbit, which is around 2,000 to 35,000 kilometers above Earth. And last is high Earth orbit, which is above 35,000 kilometers above Earth.
Okay. So the satellites orbiting at, say, 35,780 kilometers are at an altitude at which their orbital speed matches the planet's rotation and are in what is called geosynchronous orbit, or the GSO. Okay. Now, observing with the electromagnetic spectrum. So electromagnetic energy, which is produced by the vibration of charged particles, travels in the form of waves through the atmosphere and the vacuum of space.
Yeah, and these waves have different wavelengths, the distance from the wave crest, right? And frequency. A shorter wavelength means higher frequency. Some like radio, microwave, and infrared waves have a longer wavelength, while others such as ultraviolet, X-rays, and gamma rays have much shorter wavelength.
Yeah, and visible light sits in the middle of that range of long to short wave radiation. And this small portion of energy is all that the human eye is able to detect. So instrumentation is needed to detect all other forms of electromagnetic energy. And NASA instrumentation utilizes the full range of the spectrum to explore and understand processes occurring here on Earth and on other planetary bodies.
Yeah, and other use comes in the form of sensors. So sensor or instruments aboard satellites and aircraft use sun as a source of illumination or provide their own source of illumination, measuring energy that is reflected back.
Yeah, and talking about resolution plays a role in how data from a sensor can be used. So resolution can vary depending on the satellite's orbit and the sensor design. And there are basically four types of resolutions to consider for any data set, namely radiometric, spatial, spectral, and temporal.
Yeah. Another use comes in a form of data processing, interpretation, and analysis. So remote sensing data acquired from instruments aboard satellites require processing before the data are usable by most researcher and applied science users, right? So most raw NASA Earth observation satellite data, we can say level zero, are processed at NASA's Science Investigator-Led Processing System, SIPS, facilities.
Yeah, and all data are processed to at least a level 1, but most have associated level 2, where we derive geophysical variables, and the level 3, where variables mapped on uniform space-time grid scales, and many even have level 4 products. So NASA Earth Science data are archived at discipline-specific distributed active archive centers, or the DAACs, and are available fully, openly, and without restriction to data users.
Yeah, and at the end come data pathfinders. So to aid in getting started with the application-based research, using the remote sense data, data pathfinders provide a data product selection guide focused on specific science discipline and application areas such as we already mentioned above. So pathfinders provide direct link to the most commonly used dataset and data products from NASA's Earth Science data collection, along with links to tools that provide ways to visualize or subset the data, with the option to save the data in different file formats.
Okay, so guys, that's it for this week's episode. So see you all next week with a brand new episode. Until then, this is Aman Mohan signing off with Krishna. Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.